And a happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game, live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos back at the studio. And yeah, we're here.
It's like watching Picasso paint you. How you put all this together is simply amazing.
Now, there comes a point, and I hope certain people hear this, I'm tired of putting it all together.
You got it, man.
But
you're entrusted with a task that you do.
I'm not entrusted with a task. It's nobody else wants to do it, and, you know, it is what it is. So this is how it's going to be today, and I just have to deal with that. But we're excited to be here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barline.
Okay, good time today. Listen to Jeff Fisher. And then at 1, Mick Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution will join us talking Georgia and Tennessee today. 1-3, our high school coaches game of the week. Pearl Cone in Oakland, Coach Brunetti from Pearl Cone. Kevin Kreese from Oakland will join us. And a very funny comedian in town at Zany's. He opens for Sebastian Maniscalco all over the world. But tonight he's on his own. Pat McGann.
Yes.
Will join us at 2. And then at 2:45, it is the world famous, the renowned, America's most popular game, What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays.
Can't wait for that. I lost yesterday. I need to try and rebound today. So that'll be good.
Yeah. Every day, new opportunities, new wonderful things that can happen. So today is a chance for you to get back and win Celebrity Birthdays.
Cool. Well, apparently we're back now. I don't know how long we... Okay. Dropped off, but we're good.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you,
Dr. Crane, if you would talk to me and just let me know that this is actually working.
Yeah, you guys are loud and clear over the airwaves of the greater areas of Nashville.
Good. Good. I'm glad. So
same here, pal.
Hope everybody heard that. Anyway, yeah, great show. Excited about that and excited to hear about Jeff Fisher and being back with the 85 Bears and probably get his thoughts on the new quarterback as well. Titans will be at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. And keep this in mind. I don't know if... I'm curious of how much people care about this, but I thought about this the other day. This is the penultimate opening day at old Nissan Stadium. The last one. The second to last one.
Well, two things. First, stop using words like that I just got to look up. So that's it. Yeah, you were correct. You are correct, yeah.
You are correct, sir.
2 years, they'll be at the new stadium. By the way, the new stadium is gigantic. I mean, it is just gigantic and coming along well. So, yeah, that's it. So get up there and support the team on Sunday. It's supposed to be hot, but according to Davis Nolan, low humidity for us on Sunday, and it'll be a fun day. And, yeah, it'll be good to talk to Jeff Fisher about quarterback and handling because he saw J.J. McCarthy – up close and personal on Monday night. You know, it's funny. People are like, well, it's helped J.J. McCarthy that he sat out a year. Remember, J.J. McCarthy really didn't sit out a year of his own accord. He was injured. That's why he had to sit out a whole year. But you saw, well, he played Monday night. Can he keep it up on this weekend? We'll wait and see how that goes. But, yeah, it'll be good to get the opinion. And, you know, we always talked about Steve McNair set for 2. Can you imagine in this day – your quarterback rookie sitting for 2 years. I know Jordan Love did it in Green Bay, but 2 years. My goodness. And it benefited. They talk how well that benefited Steve McNair, and it paid off handsomely.
Nevada Josh, do we sound better now? Thank you for the updates. You can weigh in. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
It is. Hey, everybody. We're walking by. It's a beautiful day downtown. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel Bar Lines. Come down and say hi and see all this for your own eyes and how great. People taking pictures of us over there. Not bad. Good times, man.
It is indeed.
All right. I'm gonna do it. Let me say
go
it.
Ahead. All right. Let's get to it.
So our question of the day, you know, today is a day we'll never forget, 9/11. 24 years ago, just awful, awful. And you see the hashtag that they never forget. Yesterday was an absolutely terrible day. We're a sports show, but we're also a life show. We talk about life and you and everything. Our question of the day is 615-737-1025. I want you to call us or text us, please. Tell us what is good in your life. Tell us what you are grateful for. We're going to throw so much positivity all these airwaves and through downtown Nashville, Middle Tennessee today, that it's going to be crazy. We want to know what you are grateful for in your life, what is good in your world. We want to know that. 615-737-1025. I'm going to begin. What's good in my world is that I have a Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ who's forgiven me for some of the stupidest things ever happened on earth with me. I'm grateful for Chase McCabe and Nick Frazier, who every day, this is not a job, this is a journey. And I am so grateful for these two guys in my life. I'm grateful for my granddaughter, I'm grateful for my kids, and I'm grateful for my friends. I can keep going on and on, things that I'm grateful for and the gratitude and things that are good. Those are some of the things off the top of my head that I am extremely grateful that are good things in my life. Chase McCabe.
Well said. Look, it's not hard to be nice to people. It's a choice. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. I have a lot. I have a great, great, great support system, whether it's my mom or great friends like yourself, Dr. Crane, Rick, and countless others. I mean, that's my why, is my people. And they're awesome. So, I mean, I have a great job that I might be a little frustrated at the current moment because right. Things not working.
Right.
But I do love what I do and where I work and the people I work with. So, I think that is a fantastic question because we need to focus on the good. I think there's too much focus on the bad and the, you know, the negative, and everybody just like, let's just focus on the good today.
Yeah. Just tell me what's good and great when, what you are grateful for. Dr. Crane, what are you grateful for? What's good in your world?
I'm grateful for my family, especially my mom and dad, my brother, especially, you know, my mom had something when I was a kid on my wall. Because you have a brother, you always have a friend. And I take that to heart because my brother is one of my best friends. I take a lot of pride in my grandparents, my grandmother especially, last living grandmother. So she's been an absolute rock in my life, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm very, very, very frank, very thankful for my friends. I call it my core four. I have four best friends that I've been friends with since kindergarten, grade school, and they've been friends all throughout my entire life, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. There's just a lot of good in this world that's not highlighted enough, and I love this question of the day, so that's what I'm grateful for.
We're just going to hammer it. I mean, what's good? What are you grateful for? I mean, we can go on. I mean, I've got a list of 100 things, and my brother, my family, my friends, I mean, on and on and on, things that I love and I'm deeply appreciative. That's good in my world. Every day I get up, I have that in my world, and it's good. And I had no idea what gratitude meant until 2 years ago. I had no idea. I heard the word, oh yeah, it means this. But now I know what it means, the gratitude in our world. And so we want to hear from you. This is our show. It's your show. We want to hear what's good in your world. What are you grateful for? Please let us know. 615-737-1025. We'll have our fun today. We got a great show. Coach Jeff Fisher is going to join us in a little bit. He's here. So we'll continue what we do to make you happy, make you smile. But again, grateful for you guys, Chase, Dr. Crane, our great staff at Cromwell Media. I mean, everybody there. I mean, it's not a job, man. It's a journey. It's a beautiful journey.
We'll read a couple before Coach joins us. Jeff from Nebraska says, I got married a couple weeks ago to the most beautiful woman, and we're getting our first puppy in a few weeks.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. I'm alive and doing fine.
A good puppy name for that puppy? Nick.
Scotty from Dixon. I'm grateful for Fanatics betting app. I won over $4,000 since yesterday betting on tennis, soccer, and golf.
Holy cow. What's his name?
Scotty.
Scott, this is the IRS. How are we doing today? Oh, man.
Michael and Madison, I'm beyond thankful for my dad. he almost died 5 months ago from a punctured artery, but has since fully recovered, and you'd never be able to tell he was ever in the hospital from it. God is beyond good. I can't put into words. That's fantastic.
That is what we're talking about. Thank you.
Mike in Lebanon. Jesus, my wife and family, and living in this country where we have the freedom of speech and freedom of worship of the Lord.
There we go. I mean, every day you wake up with that. Good.
Let's see. Brian says, my wife and hockey season being upon us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the rookies are on the ice.
Today, right now.
Yep. David Big Rock. I'm grateful that I know that one elbow equals 2 feet.
Yes, thank you. That's it. Keep it going.
Hey, Coach Fisher knows that.
He does.
We were told that he knows every rule.
Every rule.
Matthew from Jolton. I'm grateful for my friends and family, Big Joe and Chase, for the internship opportunity and getting another day closer to graduation.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see. Grateful for my dad. He's been as hard as he's been on me my whole life to make me the man and my brother that we are today.
I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, you wake up every day with the good. So, yeah, you'll see the bad things. But I'm telling you, there's never been so much hope in the world as there is right now. I'm telling you, believe in that. There's a lot of hope. And the hope, my friends, is us. That's the hope.
Amen to that. So that is our question of the day. We will go back to that throughout the show. And look, yes, it is hard to believe it has been 24 years since our world, our country changed forever. I was talking to my mom last night because, you know, last night was just a good night to go out to dinner with your mom.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I remember, you know, there's a lot from my when I'm younger that I remember bits and pieces of. I remember that day. I remember that entire day. I was in the eighth grade, and I think I grew up maybe a little quicker than I was supposed to that day. But we should never forget, and it should be taught, you know, to those that weren't around when it happened, and reminded that, you know, as much as we would love for everything to be good, that there is evil in this world.
There
and,
is.
But there's ways to combat it.
Hope always wins.
Hope always wins. Love always wins.
And that, I saw a thing this morning, 343 firefighters perished on 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get into it, it's heartening, heartbreaking and everything else, but the hope of us and life and people and the Lord and all that. I'm telling you, it's good.
Were you at Channel 2 yet?
I was. I didn't go home for 4 days.
I bet.
It was on a Tuesday morning, and that's why every time I go everywhere, I have an extra bag of clothes in my car.
Yep.
Because I didn't have one.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I have an extra because of 9/11.
It's, yeah. So, you know, we obviously will recognize that throughout our show today. 615-737-1025. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coach Jeff Fisher will join us coming up next. He had a fun Monday night, even though it wasn't fun for the Bears. But he had a fun Monday night. We'll talk to him about that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game.
Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us. And the greatest is love.
Well, Alan Jackson, where were you when the world stopped turning here on this September 11th, 24 years ago? Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. And we're pleased to be joined by Coach Jeff Fisher, of course, of the Cats in AF1. But you remember that, of course. I mean, getting ready for, what was it, week two of the NFL season, and then football stops, the world stops. It's just everybody's focused on New York and Washington and Pennsylvania at that point.
Yeah, we all, those of us that were, you know, of age, remembered exactly what we were doing when we found out. I was downstairs in my office getting, it was a Tuesday, getting ready to, you know, gather the coaches up for a game plan meeting for the next opponent. And, you know, somebody called, said, turn the TV on. We did. And I went upstairs, joined. I must have spent 2 or 3 hours with Floyd Reese and Steve Underwood. Just, you know, I don't, you know, the emotions that, you just, yeah. that, you know, were just so hard, but just witnessing it and actually were there before the second plane hit the second tower. And then, you know, it was Flight 93 that went into the Pentagon. But so, yeah, it was a wild, crazy, emotional week and patriotic week. And I, you know, and then we just, the league needed to push pause for a week. And then we just said, all right, here we go. We're going to play through this. And I think it was a great decision on behalf of the league. You can imagine league people making decisions on going ahead and playing when there's league employees that had lost loved ones in those towers.
And yeah.
So we couldn't find their family members. And so, yeah, there was a lot going on. I would recommend those that didn't, you know, that don't remember, they want a brief refresher, go see Twin Towers pull it up with Nicolas Cage. Remember that?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. And the reason I bring that up is one of the two main characters in there, in real life's name was Will Jimeno. Will was one of the several of the Port Authority officers that went into the tower and then it collapsed on them. And this story is about them rescuing him. He was a survivor and he came out. And then I ended up crossing paths with him at a charity event. And so anytime after that period where I would have a game or we would have a game in New York, regardless of who I was with, I would find Will. Will would come out. I'd introduce Will and Will talk to the team. And then actually we had Will in town. And so, it was really an emotional time back then. But to meet up and become friends with Will was really a special moment in my life. You know, some of those things that football takes you to, you know, and
right.
just to share over and over his experience in that bottom of that collapsed tower was amazing.
They said one of the worst mistakes the National Football League ever made was playing the Sunday after JFK was assassinated. Had they come and said played on Sunday, would you have guys said no?
I think yes. I think we would have. There was too much going on. I don't think, you know, I mean, you win and lose in the National Football League. Oftentimes you lose because of the distractions that get out of control. You know, I've always said that. I mean, if you can avoid distractions in the building, in your locker room, and player distractions, you got a chance. You're healthy and you move forward. This was the biggest distraction in history. And I don't think we could have pulled it together.
But you fast forward to the next week when baseball's back, racing's back, everything. NFL comes back. And I will never forget 27, who was, you know, Steve and Eddie were obviously right. Your leaders. But right. Eddie running through the tunnel with the flag.
Right.
And just that sense of, like, I'm damn proud to be an American, but you know, that's my running back and he's representing us. And there was just that sense of pride with it.
Yeah. I remember, 2 years prior, in the parade after the Super Bowl loss, I remember somewhere along the parade, somebody was holding a sign up and the sign said, "A setback is a setup for a comeback." And that that resonated with me. You know, here we are, you know, 2 days after losing the Super Bowl. And so I did the research on it. It was a book that was, you know, that had gone to print. And so 2 years later, that was the motto. I mean, that was the country's motto. It was like, you know, your comeback is already taking place. I mean, before those towers hit the ground, we were off and rolling and we were going to make a difference and find out and, you know, all do all the things that we do, that our country did, you know. There was just so much. There was so much and so many people that were inspired differently. I mean, when you have an NFL, a big time NFL player, just walk away from the game and enlist and go over and then lose his life over there to friendly fire, that's different. I mean, it was everybody has a story and so many people's lives were altered and they moved to different directions just to, you know, to be a part of that comeback, I guess.
I was looking, where's that in the coach's handbook? How to deal with something like that? There's not in the playbook. It's not in the handbook. You were not taught that in college. I mean, you literally had to learn as you went, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. I mean, it's all about communicating. Anytime anything comes up, you got to stand in front of your guys. And, you know, prior to that, you need to have a pretty good relationship with them. So they listen and they trust you. And so, you know, whatever comes up, you need to share with them and how to avoid things. But, yeah, I mean, it's just about talking to them and listening to them and, You know, it's like, okay, you know, I remember getting everybody in and together and saying, okay, do we have anybody have any family issues? Is there anybody that has relatives here or there or anything that you're concerned about that we can help you and try to find out information for you? And, you know, there may have been a couple, but there were no immediate losses or members of the families that were, you know, lost in the collapse or at the Pentagon. So that's the big thing. Get to make sure everybody's okay, and then you start to deal with it, and you start to comfort them. And there's a lot of emotions going on. And you know, we became head coaches real quick in their careers become pretty good counselors.
Oh, I'm sure. Our question of the day is: what's good in your world? What are you grateful for? I'm asking you. What are you grateful for?
My past, the current, my present, what my future holds. I don't know what that is right now. None of us do, but I'm grateful for the family and friends and grandkids. And, you know, I'm grateful for this country we live in, but we got some work to do right now.
Yep.
We got a lot of work to do after what happened yesterday. And that is just mind-boggling to me that something that this country politically has gone this direction. And I'm not picking sides or I'm not being critical, but I'm just saying we need to stop and look around here and figure out what's going on. This thing's not good. This thing's going to be a mess. You know, you saw that stuff last night and I did it this morning and everything that's going on. And, you know, I mean, for my whole career, you know, I knew the day I stepped in the NFL or day I stepped in that at the end of the office as the head coach that, you know, you're gonna keep your own philosophical, your political, your spiritual beliefs to yourself, because if you lean one way, then the other side says, why aren't you over here? You know, it was just one of those things. You kept it separate. But at this point, you know, there's going to be people that are going to stand up, but on both sides. But what we need to realize is that we need to listen to each other. I mean, that's what Charlie was all about. Just listening, you know? And, you know, it's a lost art right now in our world is listening. I spoke yesterday in Dallas to a group, a corporation, Tzatziki's, the Mediterranean food chain. Good friends there. And I spoke, and everything that I talked about came right back to listening.
Yep.
You know, it's a lost art right now. And, you know, I referenced a play in 2002 in our fourth game. We were 1-3. We're playing the Washington Redskins. And, you know, I went over and there's a TV timeout. And I told a player on our team who was in the huddle what they were going to do and what he needed to do. And that's rare when you can tell somebody what's going to happen the next play. And it was, I got you, coach. I got you. I got you, coach. I'm good. And he did the exact opposite of what I told him and gave up a touchdown pass, and we lost the freaking game. So I got you, coach, is all about hearing. And hearing is all about right now in my mind. It's what, something going in one ear and out the other. Listening is when you really focus. And I referenced the fact that after that game, we had another week, we beat Jacksonville, and after that game, the players that were there, remember, I brought the league for the deaf and the hearing impaired into the bye week practice in the indoor facility. And when practice was over, I joined both groups, our team on a knee and the league for the deaf. There's about 20 kids, and the diversity with these kids was amazing. They're little, you know, 12, 14-year-olds to 25-year-olds. And the only thing that they had in common was their world was silent. I mean, I'm talking about dead, freaking, they're deaf. And their livelihood depended on the ability to read and pay attention to the signing and the signers and the, you know. And so we had a question and answer. And between the kids and the team. And it's like, you know, through the interpreter, through signing, that, you know, the first question was, Eddie George, did you always want to play running back? And Eddie's response was, well, yeah, kind of, but I did play a little bit of linebacker for Union College military, da-da-da. And then the next question was, Steve McNair, how's your thumb? And he got up and he answered the question, and they got the response through the interpreter. And when it was done, I sent him inside. We were going to meet him for lunch. And I got the guys around, and I go, guys, their world is completely silent. They don't hear anything. And their success and livelihood and everything is based on their ability to listen, but they listen with their eyes, and they watch the hands. And I knew that 2 weeks prior to that, the reason we lost the game was because one of our players, I got you, coach, heard what I said, but he didn't listen. And that was a huge focus that season, and so on and so forth. So I don't know how I got onto this, but
that was great, though.
But I think that's what's missing. How many times a day do you walk up and talk to somebody when they're on their phone? I got you. No, I'm listening. I'm listening. And they might be talking to two people. No, I mean, it's not. So I know I got back to it. People, we need to sit down and listen to each other. You know, really listen to each other, not be distracted. And so anyway, it was an emotional evening for everybody. And now here we are today, you know, on the anniversary of 9/11. So it's a great country. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for, you know, being here, getting up every morning and being able to affect people's lives in the smallest way or the biggest way, whatever I can, because, you know, I'm committed to giving back till my last breath.
Love it. We will come back and we're going to listen to you tell some stories about the 85 Bears Monday
night. Baby. Let's go.
You got to reunite with them on Monday night. We'll do that. Coach Jeff Fisher is with us. We're at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game.
We're back.
Oh, sorry.
And we're back.
I couldn't hear it. Jason Big Joe. Right.
Was that a hot mic?
No. No.
Okay. All right. I'm just talking about your burgers.
Yeah.
Burger's good here.
Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game with Coach Jeff Fisher. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. And you were at Soldier Field Monday night. It was the reunion of the 85 Bears and the Super Bowl Shuffle Bears.
And everything associated with it. Yeah, so the Bears have done a great job over the years with their alumni stuff. And so not only did they invite the 85 Bears and everybody on the roster, coaches that are still with us, but they also, it was their normal alumni weekend. So you got to see some other guys that had played, but not necessarily on that roster. So, yes, it was the first time that I had been back and participated in anything because, you know, I'd been busy for so long. And, wow, what an experience. What an emotional experience. And, you know, to every step you took or every place you looked was just a trip down memory lane. And it was, you know, I'd say 7 or 8 out of 10 of the guys you recognized. And then there's a couple like, well, where'd your hair go? You know, or they might have been a little bigger, a little smaller than they were when, but so many of them I hadn't seen in 40 years. And wow, that was a world rocker, just the time, how the time went by. But it was like once we got seated at the table or got engaged in a conversation, it was like yesterday. It was really cool. So from Jim McMahon, Steve, you know, to... from Jim to, I mean, Steve Fuller was there. Mike Tomczak was there. I mean, the quarterbacks were there. And, you know,
Singletary.
Singletary, yeah, Hampton. We just lost McMichael, unfortunately. Spent quite a bit of time with Connie Payton, Walter's widow, and Jared Payton. That was a great story here when we had him. And he got him a touchdown carry at Houston. And he still, that was his only touchdown in the NFL. He was thanking me profusely. But yeah, it was just really good. There's some guys that just couldn't make it physically, but other guys that you look at and go, oh my gosh. And it's great success stories too. I mean, Tommy Thayer's been an analyst for the Bears broadcast forever. And Kevin Butler, our kicker's doing, he's an analyst at the University of Georgia, and he's been doing broadcasting and stuff like that. So, yeah, a guy's got into business, been successful, and then there's some guys that you know, needed a hug, you know?
Yeah.
They do, and everybody needs a hug after they retire, in my mind, but these guys especially. But it was really an awesome experience. Now, I mean, for me, it was different. I mean, I didn't play a regular down snap in 85. I was on injured reserve, but, you know, I was there, I practiced, I traveled, and I have some fond memories. I found a picture of me. I was at the so we go. We lose one game, right? You guys remember who we lost to? We lost down
Miami.
We lost to Miami. So Steve Fuller is the starting quarterback for the game because Jim McMahon has been body slammed 2 weeks before. He's got a lacerated kidney, not supposed to drink, and you know all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, Steve gets his world rocked. And I'd forgotten this, but we were at an autograph signing thing, and I've got Steve's in his uniform, his arms around me, and I'm helping to carry him into the locker room, assist him to go in the locker room in street clothes, and knowing that Jim McMahon is coming into the game to finish the game, and also knowing that it was an evening game. I think it was a Monday night, whatever.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Well, I think he had his last beer about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So he had a good freaking heater going on, and he's in there. Not supposed to play, the kidney laceration, but, you know, we got through the game, we lost, but all that. But, yeah, there's so many stories, you know, so many stories that came back.
Hey, during the game, Aikman talked about baseball, you're compared to the 27 Yankees. Football teams were forever compared to the 85 Bears. When you hear that, you were in the trenches, you were there in the facility, you were there every day, what does that mean to us who, from the outside, looked in that every team is going to be compared to the 85 Bears?
Well, I mean, I think it's great for you know, the NFL to have a team, you know, to compare to. It was different. It was a different era. The game was rough and tough and hard and then. There was this amazing mixture of players and football scheme, specifically on defense, that created that, you know, that energy and that success. I mean, if you ever go back and look at that, I mean, the quarterbacks were just not finishing games,
right,
and ducking and getting hit on every play. There was no time to throw. And now, Miami broke the code. They did. They figured out how to do it in that one particular game. And I think that was more of a Buddy's resistant or Buddy's commitment to doing it his way rather than maybe make a little adjustment. But, you know, I've had numerous defensive lines. I would have to say that the defensive line that I had in Philly with Reggie and Clyde and Jerome and Mike Pitts was better than the defensive line that lined up for the Bears. But it was a matter of timing and offenses' inability, coordinators, play callers' inability to figure out how to protect. But if you, man for man, I would submit that the defensive group that I had up front in Philly was better than the guys that I play with in Chicago.
Holy cow. Will you please tell the story? It's one of my favorite stories ever told. The meeting Saturday night with Buddy Ryan in New Orleans,
yeah,
when he told the guys he was leaving.
So we're going to Super Bowl 2 weeks between championship games, Super Bowl first week. We practice in Champaign. Second week, we go down to New Orleans. You know, all the hoopla during the week, Jim McMahon, all this stuff going on. But we were practicing, and so my role was I was practicing. So I'm going to go out, and I'm going to, when the offense is up, I'm going to give the offense a scout team picture and do all that kind of stuff. Well, when the defense is up, I always went way back behind the free safety, and I stood with Buddy, and I talked to Buddy. It was all season. That's where I stood during when the defense was up. And Buddy says something along the lines of, he called me Guppy. That was my nickname. He goes, "Hey, Guppy." I looked at him funny, and he goes, you and what's her name, are you guys planning on getting married? I go, "Yeah, we're planning on getting married this spring." Well, he goes, "You need to tell her to throw you a retirement party because you're not worth a you-know-what, and you're done playing." And I basically responded, I think I might have used the F word. and I told him to kiss my ass. I don't know if I'm done playing, but I'm going to decide that. You're not going to decide that for me. Why? He goes, "Because I think I'm going to get the Philadelphia Eagle head job, and I want you to come put the defense in for me." So this was Wednesday on the practice field, and I couldn't tell anybody. So we go Thursday, Fridays, up to Saturday night. Saturday night, traditionally, in the defensive meetings with Buddy, Buddy would get up, and he literally, you just kind of, you don't even want to do eye-to-eye contact because he's going to call out people in the meeting the night before the next game. Call you dumbasses and all this kind of stuff, and you got to do this and you got to do that and da 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 da. So he talked for about 5 minutes, and then he would walk out, and then we would, on the projector, the 16-millimeter film, we would sit there, and we'd watch the second half, the last half of our opponent that we're playing the next day. So that's what we were expecting to do. Buddy got up in front of the defense Saturday night before the 85 Super Bowl, and he looked around, and he never takes – he took his glasses off one other time. I was with him. It was after that. It was when he choked on the pork chop in Philadelphia for the Dallas game. But he never took his glasses off. He took his glasses off. He put them on the table. He looked around, and he goes, regardless of what happens tomorrow, you guys will always be my effing heroes. And he walked out. And it was really quiet. And then I didn't say anything. And then everybody knew that Buddy was probably leaving. McMichael got up. He threw the chair through the chalkboard. It was sticking in the chalkboard. The projector went. Hampton throws the projector across the room, and that meeting was over. That was it. And I, you know, at that time, you don't want to be any part of anybody that has anything to do with New Orleans or the New England Patriots offense, because it's not going to be pretty the next day. So
that you knew you were going to win, didn't you?
Oh gosh, yeah. So yeah, it was. There was no doubt. And so after the game, you know, and we kind of work our way back to the hotel. I took a couple friends that were in for the game up to that meeting room, and that chair was still in the chocolate. But that was it. I mean, that was it. Buddy was Buddy. Everybody loved that man. And, you know, at the same time, you know, everybody loved Mike. But, you know, the team wasn't split. It was just there were guys that, you know, were if Mike and Buddy end up squaring off on the sideline, which they did many times, most of the time I was between them because I was standing next to Buddy. And when it got really heated, Buddy would take his headphone off. And he would give it to me, and I'd be standing there holding the headphone. But the headphone's connected to the rest of the headset, which is on a belt to his waist. And I'm going with him down the sideline while he's tapping Mike on the shoulder and looking up and telling me he's going to kick his ass. You know? That's how the sideline stuff went. Yeah.
What's the maddest you ever got on the sideline as a coach, as a head coach?
It is Baltimore, McNair, last play of the game, Steve, clock's running, we get everybody lined up, Steve has the poise to get knowing that the game's going to end, and Steve snaps the football while those lazy freaking defensive linemen were taking their time getting on the other side of the ball. And he snapped the ball while they were jumping onto their side of the ball between the A gaps and the B gaps and scored. And then Ben Dreith, the referee, said, the ball was snapped legally. They were offsides. Okay. Declined the penalty, touchdown, we win. But he says, due to the magnitude of the play, we're going to have an untimed down at the end of the game. And we couldn't get in. And we lost. That was the maddest I think
was that,
I've ever been.
Was that the division?
It was Baltimore home. It was during the season.
Okay.
It wasn't a playoff game. So, but it was during the season.
I thought you were going to say Albert.
Yeah, I thought that's where I thought you were going to say too.
There are times when I acted really, really mad, but I was acting mad. So, I was mad at Albert. I mean, yeah, when I saw it, I was mad. I mean, I was, you know, I was mad because I knew we were going to lose Albert for a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, at that time, you did something like that. I mean, they're going to lose a player for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, I don't know. I was busy this weekend, but to me, what I saw at the beginning of the Dallas game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. How'd that go down? You guys have a – how'd that go down? Was there a suspension?
No. The league said that since he missed the entire game, that was a suspension.
And they fined this game check.
Yeah. So he lost $50,000 on it.
He has freaking $500,000 in an account that's going to pay for his uniform violations week after week after week. It's BS. It's tax deductible. I mean,
yeah, but yeah, that was.
If, I'm going to tell you. Somebody asked me what I had done, and I said, if the, regardless of what the league does, I'd add 2 or 3 weeks onto it.
Yeah.
And man, I wouldn't let him in the building for 2 weeks, and then bring him back in the building and get his butt into shape. But that is wrong. I'm sorry.
Do you fault Dak at all for he didn't commit a foul. He spit on the ground. He didn't spit at him, but. You know, it does look like he kind of baited him a little bit.
There's always two sides to everything, you know. And when there's a fight, there's always something going on beforehand and this and that. You got to get the details, but you have to separate it. I mean, okay. So, yeah, you spit on our field?
Yeah.
Okay, disrespecting us. I get that part, but you don't spit. You don't do that. So, anyway, yeah. I don't know. Let's clean it up.
Yeah, 100%. We'll take a quick break, do one more segment with Coach Jeff Fisher here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines today. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Five The Game live today at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Great crowd here, and continuing with Coach Jeff Fisher. How's things going with AF1?
Going really well. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff going on. We got a few more cities that are getting ready over the next 2 to 3 weeks to unveil their teams. So we'll be bringing in several more franchises. So things are going good. We're going to have some meetings late in the month, and we're kind of getting a rule book done, and we got some good stuff going. So everything that we tried to get done at the end of the year that you just can't get done, we're going to get done now from broadcast, streaming, all the everything. So we're kind of excited about it right now.
I mentioned this to Joe when we started the show. Sunday will be the second to last home opener at this version of Nissan Stadium, a place that you have a lot of special memories in. It's hard to believe that this thing's only got a couple more years and then an awesome new stadium. But, you know, for those of us that grew up in that stadium and coached there.
Home opener, I mean, how can you... Can't ever forget about the home opener.
Cincinnati?
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately for us, Jeff, Blake cramped up. It was a hot afternoon. And
Achilles Smith came in, is that right?
Yeah. But we're down 4 or 5 minutes left to go, and I'm looking, who's that? And somebody said, somebody had binoculars on their bench and said, Jeff Blake, the quarterback's cramping. I go, dang. And then... we're down by 9, and then Steve put 10 on the board right there at the end, and we won the opener, and then we're undefeated at home. So, yeah, it is hard to imagine that so much time has gone by. But, who are they playing?
They're playing the Rams.
Of course.
Oh. So this is the Jeff Fisher Bowl.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Of course they are.
So it'll be...
Are the Rams in L.A. now? Or where are
somewhere they? Like that, yeah. Still playing at the Coliseum, I'm told.
Yeah.
Still out there.
It's good to see you. Thanks. You we love it when you come by and tell stories.
Blast. Yeah, yep. We'll do that. And, you know, everybody take a deep breath and send a prayer up for 9/11 and this country. We need it right now. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
100%. Right. Coach Jeff Fisher joining us here on the show. We'll talk some college ball coming up next. Mike Griffith going to join us here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.